Welcome to Around Our Schools, a KMUN interview program about education in Clatsop County. I am Sarah Meyer. Margaret Fremeth makes the interview sound great. Astoria High School is located at 1001 West Marine Drive, Astoria. The original building was built in 1957, and at least two bond levies have expanded and improved the campus. Today, 570 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students attend the high school. Another 35 students are part of the Astoria Choice online program. School district taxpayers and residents have been very supportive of our schools. Many of us give this support even while we lack knowledge about what is going on in them. I've been most encouraged through these interviews, learning about programs and meeting outstanding educators. There is a passion and excitement and a joy to be back in contact with students. This month, I am pleased to interview Mickey Caricino, the art instructor for Astoria High School, and Lynn Jackson, the principal at AHS. Welcome, Lynn Jackson. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to being principal?
Thank you. This is actually my 23rd year working for the Astoria School District. I began in the fall of 1999, and I taught social sciences here in the high school for 8 years. And then beginning in the fall of 2007, I was the assistant principal until 2012. And since then, for the past 10 academic years, I've been the building principal. So that's kind of my professional journey, and it's been a joy to work for the Astoria School District and to have all four of my children attend its schools.
Great, thank you. Welcome, Mickey Caricino. Tell us about yourself and your journey to being an art teacher at Astoria High School.
I haven't been here quite as long as Lynn, but I think this is maybe my 13th or 14th year here at Astoria. Before that, I taught art for seven years in Tillamook, and came from kind of the Portland area, knew I wanted to do something with art, but I started in graphic design and then realized pretty quickly that I didn't want to spend nearly that much time on a computer. And so I really enjoyed working with people, and I enjoyed coaching, and enjoyed art, so it kind of seemed like a good spot to fit into. And so that was how I ended up in the teaching part of it. So.
Where was school?
I attended Boise State University over in Boise. Go Broncos.
Well, that must be a fun thing.
Yes, Mr. Jackson and I will watch football games every once in a while with our alma maters because they seem to play each other every year. He's on top for this year.
Thank you. Well, what does an art teacher teach? And can you explain a typical work week for us?
I would really like to say that my entire work week is spent just teaching art, but there's a lot of other things that go into that. Probably not things that are super exciting to talk about on the radio, so I'll stick with the art part. In terms of what an art teacher teaches, or what I teach, because I don't know that I can speak for very many other art teachers, the skills involved in it are part of what I teach. But I think that problem solving is a bigger part of that for the vast majority of students that I teach. I think there's going to be a number of students that get some skills out of a class, a basic design class, or a painting class, or an advanced drawing class, or pottery class, any of those classes. But all of them, regardless of the skills that they take out of the class, all of them have started with a blank canvas or a big lump of clay or whatever it is they're starting with, and they have to make something out of it. And I believe that's different than in a lot of the other places that they spend their time at the school. And I think what I teach is not getting stuck at that first point. And saying, well, I don't know what to do. Can you tell me what to do? I think a lot of my job is just convincing them that they have some ideas in their head with where they want to go with it, and trying to create that, or trying at least their best to do something with it.
So a blank sheet or a blank canvas or a blob of clay.
Yeah.
And then from that we go, is that a 5 day a week student that comes into art every day?
Yeah, well, I'll spare this interview trying to explain our schedule every week. But I see kids 4 days a week. I've roughly 190, 195 students, something like that, that come through here about that many that come through 4 days a week. And I see them for three class periods that are about 50 minutes long, and then one class period that's closer to an hour and a half. And in terms of our art projects, some of them last 1 day, and some of the longer ones will last 2-3 weeks. Especially with pottery, some of those projects that that take a little bit longer to finish. Pottery, for example, has to get fired and then glazed and then refired. And so they'll spend quite a bit of time sometimes on finishing even one project.
Wow. Well, are you an advisor to clubs or other extracurricular activities?
You know, this year, I do some work with the local Young Life chapter. We have had an art club kind of off and on. It kind of depends on the student leadership. And right now we're trying to get back to having some upperclassmen that have been in the program for a little while. And so I don't have a lot of the upperclassmen leading like an art club, or I had a student a while back that started something called Art Out Loud, and it was kind of a community-based art club. We'd go out and do things in the community. I have worked with basketball and golf here at the high school, but currently my extracurricular time is spent more with my own children doing their extracurriculars.
So, Principal Lynn Jackson, can you tell me a little bit about advising and other activities that are at the high school?
So one point to recognize is that each teacher is assigned to be an advisor for a homeroom. So our days begin, especially on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. They begin with all of our students attending this homeroom, in which our advisors provide a variety of activities, whether that be for social emotional learning or just community building. And so all of our instructors have that role. And then they have those additional opportunities to work with clubs such as the Key Club, Spanish Club, the Rainbow Alliance, which is our LGBTQ+ club, and many, many more as they extend throughout our school co-curricular and extracurricular activities. And that also taps into the performing arts as well as our athletic teams. So there's quite the opportunity if you are a faculty member to be engaged in those opportunities.
I know it's a really busy place. That's just exciting. So Mickey, is teaching different for different age groups? And do your students take specific age related classes, or is it by project or by how do you teach?
Sure. I have freshmen through seniors, so ninth graders through 12th graders. And I don't believe that I have any classes this year that don't have every level. Maybe my construction class, I might not have any freshmen. But other than that, I think I have freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors in every single class. And I would say that with the subject matter, I don't find much of a difference teaching the freshmen versus the seniors. The seniors are usually a little bit more insightful. You know, the maturity level is obviously a little different. They're 4 years older. But no, I enjoy all of those age groups. I think I actually enjoy having that range of kids in class too, and not just having only juniors in class or only sophomores in class. And so in terms of how my classes mix, it's less by age than it is by experience, if you will. If you take a prerequisite like basic design is my entry level art class. Once you pass that, then you could take painting, or you can take advanced drawing or advanced art. Pottery, I think we've opened up now to not have a prerequisite, so they can take that at any time. And I do have a class that I'm not offering this year because of some of the COVID stuff, but I have until that happened for about 3 straight years. I had a community art class that was limited in number, so we could jump on the minibus anytime we wanted to and get around town to do something in town. And that was limited to students that I essentially knew had been in enough art classes and had enough experience that they were not only going to do a good job with the art side of it, but that we could trust them to finish and follow through with some of the projects that we do out and about town. Like if we started a mural, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to get us halfway through it or a half of a painting project somewhere or whatever. And that's a class I'd like to pick back up, but that's usually only upperclassmen.
So I read where you teach digital photography, pottery, painting, and drawing. I mean, that's a lot to put on a guy. Any thoughts about, do you want more? Do you want to expand what you're doing? Or is that quite enough for you to be responsible for?
Yeah, well, no, it's enough. I actually don't teach digital photography anymore. We had another teacher take that over. I don't know exactly where that stands at this point. But I did add a construction class this past year. So, yeah, I think I have like 6 different classes each semester most of the time. And sometimes it'll be a mixed class. Like I'll have advanced art and advanced drawing students in the same class. And I don't know. I think it goes both ways. I enjoy the fact that not every one of my classes is the same subject matter. That keeps it fresh. I mean, I get into whatever material it is they're using. I get to get dirty with the pottery students and go cut wood with the construction students, and I get to do all sorts of stuff. The flip side of that is 4 minutes in between those classes is a nightmare when you have every one of them every day, because you're trying to go from pottery. You guys can see the table in here. You're trying to go from pottery to painting to a dry media and basic design. Get down to the construction room and back. So yeah, I think there's advantages and disadvantages. It's not boring. So that's a huge advantage.
Speaking of art room, tell us about this beautiful art classroom that we're sitting in.
It is pretty nice. It's nice and bright too. I think that's obviously one of the things. In a place like Astoria, it's nice to see daylight. So that is certainly one of the advantages to it. We're still working on some things that we'd like to make sure are happening in here, but it's been great. It really has been. I think my favorite thing so far, I've got enough space to have 14 pottery wheels in here. And so I can have about half of my pottery class working on throwing at the same time that some people are hand building, instead of just having a few here and there. I know it sounds really ridiculous, but for an art teacher, I have 6 sinks now, as opposed to 2 in the old art classroom. And so when there's 34 students cleaning something up, that cuts that time down immensely to have that many sinks in the back. I think one of my other favorite things is just how many places we've got, not only just in the room, but around the room to display things. You guys got to see some of the walls on the way in, so we're gonna have some really cool displays right out here in this new, brand new hallway that is sitting right adjacent to the art room. And I have a nice spot there to display some of the 3-dimensional artwork. And those are some of the highlights so far for me.
For those who had kids in school many years ago, the idea of an art room having an exit window or looking outside and more than one pottery and one table for calligraphy and one slanted table for painting, this is amazing. So congratulations for the bond levy, and those people that are supporting you know that they have good money returns for what they're putting into it.
It's kind of fun. Every once in a while we'll be looking around for something. Like one of the students was looking for a plug-in the other day, and we couldn't. One of the other students just pointed up and said, hey, just look right above your head. You can go ahead and grab those ones. So we're definitely still finding some of the things that are in here to work with. It's fun.
Mr. Jackson, can you tell us just a little bit about some of the other bond improvements that are gracing Astoria High School?
So with our community engagement teams that we began way back in 2018, even a little bit before that, we wanted to make sure we heard the voice of our community constituents, and many of those key priorities that were presented to us were safety and security of our students. We wanted to make sure our students had a safe and modern building to go to. And then also modernization of science classes and also the career and technical education, as well as the fine and performing arts. So we went and invested our community resources into those endeavors. So you'll notice that we have expanded and modernized science rooms. This lovely fine art room that we were sitting in this afternoon, we built a new orchestra and choir room and did a complete remodel of the auditorium with new seating, lighting, sound, stage riggings, even changing the proscenium of the stage itself, as well as modernizing the band room. So those upgrades, the community will be able to see those more often as they come and go to the annual Nutcracker by the Little Ballet Theater and other community events. We also improved our career and technical education labs, where we have a construction lab, an agricultural science lab, and I'll call it a robotics and engineering lab as well. So these improvements really are enriching the educational opportunities of our students, and we're very appreciative of the support that our community has literally invested in their youth.
Great, thank you so much. So I was going to ask you if there are upcoming events that the art department is part of, and share that.
Yeah, actually I think that might dovetail perfectly with what Lynn was mentioning about the community being able to come in and see things a little bit more as we get opened up. I think on May 14th, we're still working on the exact date, but somewhere in the early May, we will be having our art show for this particular semester. I think we're going to kind of tailor it towards having some functional pottery to use, like maybe having some cereal and some soup along with the other art displayed, because I've got so many pottery students this semester. But that also will serve as a time where people can come in, because we're going to hold it here as opposed to off campus like we did in the fall, where the parents can come in, the community can come in, not only to see the artwork, but also to see this facility, especially the art room. I don't know exactly what organization yet, but typically in the spring, our art show will be geared towards raising money for some local nonprofit or local charity. And the students will determine that over the next couple weeks, what organization is they would like to support through, you know, the proceeds of the art show.
And what will be beautiful about that event is that it will dovetail into the performing arts, in which the spring musical Cinderella will be happening that night as well. So community members can come in, take a look at the fine art displays and participate, maybe even grab a light meal, and then go down to the spring musical Cinderella in that brand new renovated auditorium.
Isn't it nice to be back into classroom and having people and just able to do that? So are there any aha moments that you can remember through your years of teaching that you can share with us?
You know, I don't know about perfect aha moments. I mean, I hate to keep it's perfect segues into most of these questions. Like, we were just talking about these things now happening again, being able to, I think the most recent moment that I've had is just as we have started to see not only students in the building, but students smiling. And it's been a long time since I've seen students smiling, because most of them on the screen were not on video, and so it wasn't very interactive that way. And then even when they were back in person, it was better, but you still didn't have the smiles and the laughs happening. And so over the past couple weeks, that's been pretty reinvigorating to see that start happening again. So I don't know that that's an aha moment as much as a relief, but it certainly makes me want to keep doing my job a little bit longer.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about this classroom that we are setting in today?
Sure. We have a number of windows. It's really great for natural light. We've got on three sides of the room, there's natural light coming in, which is fantastic. Really high ceilings. The tables are stainless steel tops, which has worked out really well for being able to clean them off. I was a little nervous about scraping them. We do a lot of scraping in here after acrylic paint gets on things, but they seem to be holding up to that really well. And they're all mobile. Like everything in here pretty much will move around. We do a lot of moving around for different projects, and so having things be mobile has been really key. Quite a bit of storage for projects, and I'm really excited too about the whiteboards. I don't know if you guys can see the giant sliding whiteboards up front. At some point, I think those will be incorporated into some sort of student projects too. It's everybody likes for one day just being able to go crazy on a whiteboard. So, and I also have, I think I mentioned the pottery wheels. There's now 14 brand new electric pottery wheels. Pretty essential to this room. One is a spot where we can fire all of our pottery. The kiln is in there, along with a wet cabinet where we can store leather hard clay and everything that needs to be fired. And then a storage room that holds lots and lots of art materials.
So is the kiln gas fired or is it a...
Our kiln is electric kiln, yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that goes once a semester that you burn, or?
Oh no, I have right now with 60 or so pottery students. I need to do that probably about once a week.
That's a lot of work. Do you know the pottery teachers up at the college, and is there any going back and forth?
I know Richard. I won't say well, but I've worked with Richard a number of times on things. He's awesome. He's been great to our program. In fact, when I moved into the old art room 13, 14 years ago, he was one of the first people I called because half of the stuff in there I didn't recognize. Like it was just all over the place. And I'm like, I need somebody that knows what they're doing to come in and help me get this set up. So, I've worked with Kristen at the college a little bit too, the painting instructor, and yeah. So they've been great.
Art is a lifelong learning opportunity for people that get started very early, hopefully within the home where they are introduced to colors and to all the things that are exciting for them, exposure. And then they're in high school, and it's like that time that they either get some sort of a verification that art is part of who they are. So how do you bring that part into a student?
So I think probably the best way I can answer that is that I guess my goal from an artistic standpoint is to move them from point A to point B, because every one of them is coming in with a different point A. The students that you're referring to that maybe just get a little bit of it from K through 8, there's some of them that do a ton of it at home on their own. And they walk in the door in the same basic design class as somebody who never, ever, ever sits down and does any artwork. I feel like I would not be doing my duty if I was only teaching to one end of that. And so I'm hoping that through the instruction, but also the individual contact with those students, that they can get some of the skills or some of the passion or whatever it takes to get them from point A to point B. I've had a number of students come through here that I don't know if I've taught them any skill per se, other than like just evaluating their own work and being able to look at their own work and you know, kind of decide what it is they'd like to do to it to make it better, because some of them are ridiculously good by the time they get here. But then there's some where basic skills are a much bigger part of the teaching equation.
So my last question for you is, why do we have art education?
Well, this would be a cool one for Mr. Jackson too, but I think I have two. I, as I saw this question earlier, I think I have two thoughts on that. And one goes back to the problem solving and the creativity. Like, I had that discussion with my kids just the other day as they're trying to decide what they like to do and things that they are interested in working with in the future. And I don't know that the job market is the same anymore. I think it's probably a good thing that kids have to create some of their own things. And I like that it's action oriented along with that creativity. It's not just coming up with the idea. They got to come up with the idea and actually do something with it, create it. It's pretty hands-on. The second part of it, and I had this discussion with a student today, it is really hard sometimes for a high school student to verbally tell me what they're passionate about. I will have that discussion with a number of students every day when we're trying to brainstorm ideas for their project and say, well, what is it that you like? You know, what do you like to do? What, most of the time, I don't know, or I like to sleep. This is something that a number of them get passionate about doing. And I love to see the fact that they're not just doing it because I'm asking them to do it. They're doing it because they want to. Like, they're passionate about getting in here and doing it. And I think if we don't provide that for some of them, I don't know that how many of them are going to do it on their own. It's way easier to go home and to plug into something else than it is to sit down and do some artwork and be passionate about creating something. So.
And I think it's important that a comprehensive high school provides opportunities for students to prepare for future careers. That provides a livelihood, but it doesn't necessarily provide an enriching life. And the opportunity to engage in the fine arts or the performing arts allows our students to, one, find rejuvenation in the present as our students are navigating difficult situations in their lives. They find a release in engaging in these courses, but that is a release that they can refine and find joy and fulfillment for the rest of their life. And exposing them to those opportunities while they're in their adolescence and youth is, I think it's one of our fundamental charges that we have as a comprehensive high school.
Wow. Okay, this has been great. And thank you, Mickey Cherugino, for your commitment to art, and to Lynn Jackson for your commitment to the overall educational opportunities we have. Astoria High School as a community is a winner with you guys. What a gift. The 1C School District has a website, as does each school. Students and parents are aware of this, and the sites also provide others with some updates on activities. So fast our year progresses. It's spring, and high school graduation for the class of 2022 is June 4th. I especially like to learn about collaborative efforts, and one upcoming is the North Coast Inclusion Seminar being held at Camp Kwanalong on April 23rd. It's a morning plan to support and understand equity in education. All are invited, but registration is requested so that the right number of lunches can be ordered. Again, thank you, Mickey and Lynn, for a dedicated teachers and principal at Astoria High School. And thank you, KMUN, and thanks to Margaret and you listeners. I am Sarah Meyer, and we will be back with Around Our Schools on May 10th.